How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
And I put a really heavy emphasis on generational communication now, because there's so much friction with four or even five generations working in the workforce. If you practice or implement bi-directional leadership, you are going to have a much more cohesive team, because we all have superpowers. And what I'm good at, somebody else may not be, and I'm probably not good at what they're good at. Your patients are going to notice that you're communicating with each other. You know, rather than just going through the process of the day, doing your job in your silo, you know, once they're communicating and understand each other better, they have a better working relationship and the patients notice it.
Get ready for your unofficial dental hygiene podcast. These are the tales of two hygienists, one East Coast RDH and one West Coast Guygenist. Listen as they tackle the profession of dental hygiene with humor and enthusiasm. Now, please join Michelle Strange and Andrew Johnston as they tell you a tale of two hygienists.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of A Tale of Two Hygienists, episode number 289. My name is Andrew.
And this is Michelle. Welcome to our little podcast here.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. I'm excited for this one. I think we said it in the interview, maybe partially, but Lisa and us, we've been kind of going back and forth for months and months and months trying to get her on the show. And I think this is actually several of our listeners had suggested that she come on. And so she's finally making it on the show.
Yeah.
Long, long overdue. We appreciate her for being so cool about that. I mean, and if that just doesn't speak to her character, you know, that's just, she's a wonderful human being.
Agreed. Agreed. It was a really great interview that we did on location at ADHA. And it's funny that today, as the launching of this episode, we're at RDH under one roof. I'm still not processing that we are like in person. And as suspected, I ended up getting a little head cold after ADHA. I know it was like days later.
Days or weeks?
I know everyone's like, no, it was not weeks. It was maybe 10 days.
Yeah, like 10 days.
10 days. But I said, I'm not worried about COVID. Maybe I'm a little concerned about the Delta variant, but I'm mostly concerned that my immune system has not seen other humans at this capacity. And people are just little plague rats in my life. And I want to stay away from them.
As my kids went over to your house who have been around other kids.
It's all right. I'm not too self. Yeah, we should talk about the fact that you finally, in 6 years, came to Charleston.
I am still patting myself on the back for making that effort. No, do you know what?
Oh.
You know what's funny? I actually told the kids too, because they're like, hey, why are we doing this? I'm like, just because I'm tired of your auntie yelling at me about not ever going up there. I was like, we know she's moving. This is a last ditch effort. This is the only weekend I can probably do it. So let's just make it happen. So she quits yelling at me about it.
I accept that.
Yeah, it's only partially true.
Well, and also you guys were super helpful because you helped me like get my life together. I don't want to admit into the world. I know I do that I am.
Everybody listen up. Hold on. Listen, everybody. This is awesome.
Listen.
I love what's happening right now.
You don't even know what I'm going to say.
Oh, I think I do. I think it's like you're upstairs in your house versus what's in your garage. I hope that's what you're going to talk about.
It is.
Yeah. Keep going. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I just want to make the point that there are probably people in this world that think I'm like a super put together person. And I'm just here to tell you, this is not facts. These are not facts. I am a very messy, like physically, mentally, emotionally. I might be super driven and overtly ambitious in a lot of ways, but it is a shit show to get to the end product. Let me just tell you guys that.
But also the end product genuinely is usually pretty amazing, except for the garage. But like if you go into your house, like even the bathroom downstairs, like every little thing is thought through about why it's there and how it's put together. And like, it might be messy like in the production of that, but like the end result's usually pretty decent. And I think that even when you're speaking, like I've never heard anyone say like, oh, that was a terrible, lecture. Like it's great reviews all the time. Anyways, but guys, listen to this. Her garage, there was stuff from decades ago in that garage that she had never, ever used. And she's like, well, I might need it one day. Oh, I might be able to give it to somebody in two more centuries from now who might be able to use it.
Somebody might need this in the world.
There were things that were broken. And I'm like, you can't give that to somebody. Nobody wants. Well, somebody could probably use it. I'm like, that's like my great grandma, like speaking. Well, we got to be frugal. This is, we went through the depression, so we can't, talk about like triggers and stuff.
Well, let me just tell you, I was raised by both my grandparents who went through the depression.
Yeah, it shows.
Yes. And my grandfather, who really raised me and was like my father figure for a lot of my life, also worked for the county and he ran the landfill in Charleston. He like built it. And that man was a hoarder like you've never. Like, I'm sure if we went into his house, because we still have his shed, that there are screws and nails that exist from the 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have the disease. I have it.
So hoarding is one thing that was very obvious that we noticed. But also organizationally, none of it made sense where everything was down there.
It made sense to me.
How did that make sense? In what order did any?
Well, first off, I don't think we're being completely fair because half that stuff was in there because I had a garage sale.
Oh,
and like it was, sure. It was sectioned off the way that it was on like pallets and stuff because my neighborhood will not let me like pull things out into my very minimal driveway that I have anyway. So I had it like along the rows of things. And yeah, I mean, yeah, it was some decor was all over the place, but still like I was just looking for places to put things at one point. Mixed with, yes, like things that I needed to go through and like get rid of. And yes, I have a very hard time. So I was telling my friend KP, who has cleaned my garages out multiple times in our friendship. And I was like, I don't think I could have both you and Andrew in this situation. I think the cutthroatness of like, let's just throw it away. I think it would have put me in a damn facility. Like I would have spun out and I would, because I have a mental connection. And if we go back to last week's episode with our adverse childhood events, I definitely have a connection to every little thing that I have bought and brought into my home. There was a reason for it. And I know it. And I know exactly where I was, when, why I bought it, how much it cost. I have a story behind it. You let me tell a few of my stories before you trashed it. And I do appreciate that. But
hey, anything to be able to throw it away. Like I'll listen to your drivel like forever so I can throw it away. No, actually, you were in some of the best spirits I've ever seen you. Like ever.
I like hosting people.
Yeah, I can tell. It was, you were so obnoxiously loud in the morning time on our drive when we talked. And I'm just like, I had to turn the volume down in the car. Like my kid had like blood coming out of his ears because you were yelling.
Oh my God.
That's not true. So but you were so excited. And then even when I was like going through all your stuff, I'm like, okay, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Like you were upbeat. I was surprised how willingly you allowed me to like ruin all of your memories. So,
yeah, I mean, I think I'm coming to terms with like, I have to get rid of stuff. Like I can't do this big, audacious dream of mine without nixing a lot of my stuff. And it hurts. Luckily, your daughter took a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, Molly. Yeah. Molly is just so happy to have anything Auntie Meech would give it to her. And so you can visit any of those things anytime that you feel like you want to see them. Hey, so before we move on, because I do have something I want to talk about with Lisa, but I'm going to forget. We have a review that we haven't read in forever, and I feel really bad about it.
As you should.
And it is my fault. So this is actually back from June 13th. So this is like 2 months. So this is from Chosen Spot and 5 stars. The title of this one is number 281, Mental Health Awareness. So that was one of the episodes that we had done. And they said, I wasn't going to listen to this episode, but I did. And I'm glad I decided to listen. Great discussion and good insight. I'm going to research active listening and begin practicing it. Thanks again, !
Ooh, active listening and motivational interviewing. Ugh, love it.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to like, it's funny because people always ask us, right? They're like, okay, you have a dental hygiene podcast. Like how many times can you talk about scraping a tooth, right? Like that's kind of like the mentality that people have. And we're like, no, there's so much more to it, to our profession, to our lives, to our, you know, interpersonal interactions. So good job on that. Cause I don't think I was on that episode, but you guys did a great job.
Yeah. 2 great guests that we had on. So Candace and Michelle did a great job too. Yeah. Anyhow.
So as we're going to be throwing into the episode here in a minute, I wanted to connect the you moving away and doing things with Lisa, because you and Lisa ended up almost being like soul sisters.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that she actually knows this, but like, I hope she will soon find out that you're probably going to be going to see her and do some skiing with her at some point yeah. in the future in your travels.
Yeah. So I've decided on, I think, a route, but also like, don't hold me to it, because that's the joy of my new adventure. The spontaneity. I can like change it whenever I want, but currently it's St. Pete, Florida to Vegas, or just south of Vegas. Cause I want to do a bunch of hiking around there, then to Southern California, and then into either Colorado or Utah for ski season. And I am so freaking excited for that. And if you haven't already, if you go to either my Facebook page, or if you go to our Instagram and do it, the link in the bio, there is a Google form that I put together, and you can put your address in there. No one else will see it. It's just me. I have a private Google map, and I'm just mapping out everybody's like location. And if you have a place for me to chill, if I'm on my way across the country, also, I would love to like have little networking events and stuff with all the cool, fun people that will be in the area that I'm actually in. So if you haven't already, like, go do that. I would love it. I would love to see everybody and meet everyone and hear about your great stories, because you hear about mine all the time.
Yeah. Gosh, we have to record that and put it out somehow.
That would be awesome. But yeah, Lisa was great. Yeah, we did have so much. Our journeys were so similar in this lovely profession of ours. And she talks about an acronym that she has come up with called Iron Man, and what that means. So we'll let her break down Iron Man and tell her journey in this episode, and enjoy it with Lisa Copeland.
Before we get to the interview, we want to say a big thank you to Paradise Dental Technologies, or PDT, for supporting the continuing education portion of this podcast for so many years. If you do not know already, many of our full-length episodes count for CE. You'll find the links in the show notes, or you can sign up for our newsletter by going to ataleoftwohygienists.com. When you sign up for the newsletter, we will periodically send out links to shows that have expiring CE courses attached. And none of this could be possible without the support of the amazing people over at PDT. So check out their hygiene and other instruments at pdtdental.com. That's pdtdental.com. Now, on to the interview.
Welcome, listeners, to the interview portion of this podcast. And we have a guest that we're actually in front of, which is so fun. Lisa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yes. And go ahead and like tell us all about yourself.
Oh, that's a loaded question. Okay. So I've been a hygienist for 30 years. I grew up in, oh, you're going to love this. Everybody's going to love this. I grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Nice. I have the theme song for The Office.
I know. It just immediately jumped in.
That's my claim to fame.
I would have played that for the podcast, but rights, we don't have them.
Bobble Dwight's everywhere in Scranton now. Oh my God. They've merchandised it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Love that.
It's fun.
Started in Perio. Hardest thing I did ever right out of hygiene school, but the best thing I ever did. And went into implantology. From there, I started working in Washington, D.C. in the 80s when nobody really knew what implants were. And so I was in a osseointegration, Center for Osseointegration. And the practice, the dentist I was working for, I never knew this, brought the technique in from Sweden. So he was first dentist in the U.S. to do implants.
Wow.
Brandon, like, Mark.
Found the job through a temp agency.
Wow.
And so I worked for him for years, and he was lecturing on the international circuit. And he came to the staff one day and said, you know, I think I need you guys to travel with me to teach the hygiene part and the, you know, the office manager part and the dental assisting part. He said, because nobody knows what dental implants are. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so he asked all of us if we'd be willing to work for a dental implant company and travel with him and lecture around the world. And we
took one nanosecond
and went, yeah.
100%.
That just never happens.
No, it doesn't.
That partnership is amazing.
Yep. So, and that's what started my speaking career. And through the whole rest of my career, I worked clinical practice and as a speaker for corporate industry, dental. And now I have my own business, Communicate with Influence. Wow. So I left the corporate world, but I still work with dental teams, mm-hmm. you know, on communication. And I work with corporate teams because I worked in sales and marketing and under clinical research. And so it just is a really good fit for me to stay in dentistry because that's my home.
Yeah.
But to now do focus more on communication. And I put a really heavy emphasis on generational communication now because there's so much friction with four or even five generations working in the workforce.
So insane. I remember, like, in my first private practice, that was a huge problem. You know, you have the doctor that's from a generation, then you have the hygienist that's been there for a little bit, but from a different generation. And then you have me coming in, who is definitely from a different generation. Then the front office was like that in between that was trying to be the communicator person to smooth everything out when we had miscommunications. And I mean, that's a very needed thing, I think, in dental offices.
I feel like it seems like we talk a lot about, like, now we talk about this, right? Like, how you need to communicate between generations. Has that ever been said prior to the last, like, 5 or 10 years?
I think social media has accelerated that.
Yeah.
But I just came from teaching a course on COVID-19, the impact of Gen Z. And I think what's happened is, every generation, when Newsweek, for example, has published a front page article on every generation that's come into the workforce. And in every single one of those articles, there has been two common themes. Number one, oh, this new generation is so entitled.
So lazy.
Yeah, so lazy. And they have no work ethics. Mm. And every single generation has heard that. It's risen to the top because of social media. We hear it more.
Yeah.
One of the Gen Zs that took my class came up to me after and she goes, oh, I hate being the low man on the totem pole because that's all I hear.
Yeah.
And I said, we all heard it. I said, it's just more exaggerated because of social media, you know, but it's been a topic ever since, you know, traditionalists were the first generation that were really studied and the years designate, you know, which generation, why a generation is who they are. So they had the recession, and they had World War II. Those developed who they were and who they became.
Yeah.
And so every generation has a defining moment. The youngest generation coming to the workforce is Gen Z, and they are, you know, they've been bookend. They had the Great Recession, and now they're living through COVID.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's a big stressor for them, what they're dealing with. And it's showing in the way they come into the workforce. It's showing in the way they are becoming patients of ours as well.
Yeah. You also see them. I know that's not exactly our topic to talk about today, but
we got a little off there.
Yeah. But I love it. I love the conversation. I think it's also interesting to see how they're standing up for themselves and the social justice, like the little social justice warriors. I love it so much. Like they
want to be known as individuals and entrepreneurial. And yes, they are very, very individual. Mm-hmm. And they're all about diversity and inclusion. and not only impacting their world from a community standpoint, but they're also very globally interactive as well. So it's a fascinating dynamic because they're impacting, you know, right where they live, but they're also wanting to have a very large global impact as well. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool to see that.
It is. I saw a meme the other day that said, like, no one wants to pick a fight with Gen Z because Gen Z is going to throw down. Like, they're going to throw down. And I was like, and I love Gen Z for that. So what are we talking? I know we're not talking specifically Gen Z, but we are talking about communication. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell us a little bit what we're going to chat about.
So one of the things that you noticed on some of the information I sent you was the 7 principles of business communication. And that came from, I've competed in 2 Ironmans, competed in 2 Ironmans.
Oh my gosh. And,
well, you know, I did the first one and I thought anybody could do it. I'm going to have to do it again.
Oh my gosh. I sip wine going in awe of this human.
Well, I've always been athletic. I mean, I've been a swimmer since I was 8 years old. I won the very first swimming race I ever did in my life.
Oh, wow.
And it just catapulted me into this swimming career. Mm-hmm. And then I met my future husband and he said, "You are a swimmer, right?" I said, "Yeah, why?" And he said, "Do you want to do a triathlon as a relay? Mm-hmm. Be the swimmer." And so we were living in Singapore at the time.
Wow.
And I said, "Well, yeah, I'll get back in the water." And then from there, we were like, "Well, this is stupid. We can do the whole event ourselves." And we just progressed into, you know, small. You start really small and then you just build, you know. So I did like a relay and then we did Olympic distance and then you do a half Ironman and you just keep kind of building. It's a sickness, really.
Well, I mean, I don't want to brag, but I did a sprint triathlon and I didn't finish last.
Nice. They're hard. 3 disciplines in one, all in a row.
I suck, right? And I did not. It was not a drug for me.
Yeah.
I was like, cardio is not my life.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a runner. Which it baffles me that I ran a marathon at the end of that twice.
That's amazing.
But so I took the lessons that I learned from training for an Ironman. And they're so similar to business and communication. So you need a strategic plan, right? You've got to have a plan. You can't make it through without looking forward and you know, saying, okay, we're not, I didn't do that very well. What can I change? What can I adjust? It has to be a flexible strategic plan and constantly evolving. Second, you've got to invest in technology, right? So I would get a new bike that would help me get a little faster, or I would get a new wetsuit that would help me go a little bit faster or stay on the top of the water a little bit more. And then having a coach, right? You hire people who can help you in your weakness and who can help you in what you need to develop more. And I started thinking about it and I'm like, you know, all those lessons that I've done all my life apply to dentistry because we don't have a strategic plan moving forward. It's kind of like, you know, watching water flow through a river, you know, there's no direction and we all have weaknesses. You cannot be good at everything. You can't do your own social media. You can't do your own website if it's not a strength of yours. And so you get coaches, you have communication coaches, and that's kind of how the Ironman principles of business communication came about. So those are, you take the word Ironman, 7 letters, 7 tips for better team performance.
Oh, that's where that came from. I love that. All right.
Should we just jump into the eye?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do the eye?
Yeah, let's
do it.
Should
we?
Yeah.
All right. So starting with the eye stands for impression. And I also kind of interchange it with introduction, but you have, there's a 7-11 rule as far as first impressions go. And people evaluate 11 things about you in 7 seconds.
Oh, what?
They evaluate you the first time they see you in the time it takes to snap your fingers. 2 seconds.
Mm. Okay.
And then you have the 7-11 rule. And it's things like your financial status, your educational status. Like, it's important stuff. And then they spend the whole rest of the time involved in the conversation trying to prove that their first impression was right. And so first impressions are lasting impressions.
That sounds
terrible. Very difficult.
I was going to say, I hate everything about that. I hate everything about that. But it makes it... very true.
Yeah, no, it is.
It is. Think about it's when so you, true. You know, as a speaker, I know when I walk up on that stage, people immediately look at my shoes. They look at my hair. Oh, her hair is not looking good today. Or they immediately evaluate me. And in 2 to 7 seconds, they may walk out the door. So think about, as a dental practice, the impressions that you make, those mm-hmm. first impressions that you have. So the phone call yeah. with a new patient, or I always tell the offices that I coach, you know, do a recon. Start out in your parking lot, partner up with somebody that's in a different department than you, right? Mm-hmm. So a hygienist and an office manager, or an assistant and the doctor, whoever it is, because you're all going to look at different things mm-hmm. and start just walking through your office as if you were a new patient coming into your practice. And what do you see? Take note of that, because that's their first impression of mm-hmm. coming into your office. Phone calls, super important.
I just came up with a new job. I want to be a secret shopper for dental.
Be offices. A sleuth. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Hire me.
I think it'd be fun.
I will be a patient and I will sit and I will give you all the feedback.
Yep.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I think that for you, that's a fantastic job. Like, you'll pay me to judge how our appearance of the alt practice looks. Well, I mean, but it is a good thing. I can't tell you how many times, because with my last job, I was working in lots of different offices, and I even attempted other practices that weren't with my company. And you would see the stone that's like on the edge of the counter that had fallen off when they were pouring on models. You'd go into like mm-hmm. the sinks that had like spit and
pieces of fluoride
varnish still, like, oh. And like all sorts of different things that you would see that if you're doing it every day, you don't notice it. The base of the chairs, there's scuff marks from people's feet hitting them or whatever. So,
Yeah. Yep. All that stuff matters.
It does.
Right. And with going back to younger generations, they are all about inclusion and diversity, and they notice the magazines you have, right? Mm-hmm. Are they diverse? Are you including everybody in your population? What do the pictures look like on your walls? What kind of furniture do you have in your operatories as well as your reception areas, right?
God, that's so interesting.
All of that is, you know, everybody looks at it from a different perspective. And some people aren't as meticulous as others, but it's going to impact your practice. Mm-hmm. So that first impression is super important. So that's the I. The R stands for relationships. Mm. And honestly, the relationships are the cornerstone of every business. Because if you don't establish relationships with your team members and with your clients or your patients, many of them are not going to trust you or be loyal to the practice. And so you've got to get that communication down as far as establishing a relationship with each person that comes into your office. And, you know, in dentistry, you're seeing a patient every hour, every 45 minutes. So you're constantly changing your patterns of conversation and your patterns of communication. And you should be, mm-hmm. right? If you're not, then you're missing the mark on really relating to that particular patient.
Mm. So let me ask you this question then, because I understand what you're saying. And I think that's very important. But I think that there's also a big section of the population that's unable to do that. Is that something that they can learn, do you think? Mm-hmm. Or do you think that just innately some people are just, there's this one doctor, I love him so much. He's the most amazing clinician, but just the most awkward human being that ever walked the earth.
It takes coaching. You know, anybody that's in that gray zone, but if they are willing to watch and observe people that are good at it, they will learn how to use the exact same vocabulary and just mimic what they were doing. And I did that in my earlier days of practice. I've always been in implant practices, prosthetic, and I never saw kids. My whole career.
You and I are living the same life, I swear.
I never saw kids. And I'd like sweat when I had to work on a child because I just don't relate to them. I don't have kids mm-hmm. myself. And I worked in an office where there was this girl that was such a good mother and she was amazing with children. And I was right next to her. And so I was like a little sponge.
I heard
everything she was saying and doing with the kids. And then I just started to mimic it. Oh man, did that help the appointments go better.
For you or for the kids?
All of the above. The whole office. Yeah. Well, and I think there's actually right now at ADHA back there in the poster presentation one on motivational interviewing, and we talk about that a lot. And mm-hmm. I think that's really that's how you create relationships. Right. You're asking the patient.
You're asking the right questions.
Yeah.
And you're letting them answer. You're an active listener.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of communication too, because we listen. Most people listen to answer. And so you hear the question and then you're immediately fabricating your answer. But if you're actively listening, you're listening with all of your senses and you're really taking in what the person is trying to communicate to you and not thinking about your answer immediately, right? You let them do the talking and you learn a whole lot more by being quiet.
Yeah. Michelle, did you hear that?
I heard it.
Were you an active listener on that part?
I was actively listening. Okay. Ish.
That's her out. So
she was thinking about the next question.
Yeah, that's my problem. But and honestly, active listening is a very learned skill. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Well, I mean, because I think everyone they do it differently, right? So you know my big problem with actively listening is I always have to have something right this in my hand. I always have to be doing something and I have a hard time with eye contact, but I'm still actively listening. I'm digesting the things that you're saying and I'm trying to relate it back to those maybe the shared experiences that we've both had or things like that, where Michelle just picks things up like, and just, oh yeah, well, she's so natural at it.
Well, thank you. But I think I also don't always hear because I am thinking about my response. And I think also, have you heard a lot about Gen Z talking about ADHA and people who are thinking of that relatable story that is the sign of ADHD? And I was like, well, if yes. Check box. Yes. 100%. 100%. But I also like, and to me, it's like, it's how you relate. That's how you create those bonds.
Right.
But there are people that definitely don't see that. And they're like, she just wasn't listening to me. They want to talk about herself.
It is. It's all teachable to people, but some people are just naturally good at it. And some people have to really work at it. Mm-hmm. It depends. It's just like anything else. You know, it's a skill set that if you want to get better at it, just takes practice.
Yeah.
Like a sport or, you know, dental hygiene. Remember the first time you picked up a dental hygiene mirror and they told you to look in the mouth backwards?
Yeah. That was real special.
I thought I was going to drop out that day.
Max anterior linguals were my ears.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've all had those scares, right? Those scary experiences. And now look where we are.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So on to the Iron Man. Yes. Oh,
got it.
O is, taking or seeing the opportunities to appeal to people's emotional side, because we make decisions on emotion, which this is very typical in dentistry, particularly if a dentist is delivering a treatment plan to a patient. They talk about all of the technical things that they're going to do and achieve and make their smile better. But we forget to ask what's important to the patient. Mm-hmm. And so take a minute to think about who the patient is and how can we appeal to them emotionally. Like if they indicated on their health history that they wanted whiter teeth, then we should be combining that into the treatment plan, right? They have a fractured number 8 and they need a filling on number 2. When they come in for those procedures, let's fix number 8 so that we get good impressions, and we'll fix number 2 because we don't want you to have sensitivity with the whitening. We'll take your whitening impressions after we do that work, and then you can start whitening your teeth as well, because that's truly what they're there for. Mm-hmm. That's truly what they want. And so we have to look at their wants first and then focus on their needs. And that perspective will get better treatment case acceptance.
Yeah.
But I like that because you have a why, though. And I think that's when we're doing that as a treatment plan presentations, you don't say, okay, we're going to fix number 2 because we don't want it to be sensitive when we do the whitening. Like you're relating it back to their main goal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we miss oftentimes, because I would love to say that our hygienists are really good at including whatever their main concern is or whatever the thing that they want. But it ends up being just an item on a treatment plan rather than a relationship.
Yeah.
So
that's a great way to put it. Mm-hmm. Good words.
Thank you.
Nice job, Andrew.
Oh my gosh. I'm loving this.
I kind of jumped into the N. The N is needs versus wants. And right, so reversing what we do, focusing on the patient's wants from an emotional perspective as well. So the O and the N kind of overlap in the acronym of Iron Man. The M, starting the man part of it, is for management. And management is just, I look at it from a couple different perspectives, but for today's purposes, let's just say it's management of leadership in your practice. And if you practice or implement bi-directional leadership, you are going to have a much more cohesive team, because we all have superpowers. And what I'm good at, somebody else may not be, and I'm probably not good at what they're good at. And so give people the opportunity to cross train and also be leaders at different points. You know, if you have a staff meeting or a team meeting, and you want to focus on, I'm going to use whitening because that's really popular, right? That's driving dentistry. Mm-hmm. And you want to focus on improving your whitening production. So pick the person in the office that's the whitening cheerleader. You know, somebody that's really good at talking about whitening to their patients and can mm-hmm. relate to them. And then have them pioneer having a few sales rep come in and give you a presentation on their whitening products. And, you know, once you do that, what direction is the office going to move in? But have somebody that's really good at it be the leader for that particular project. Mm-hmm. The leader doesn't necessarily mean the practice owner.
Right.
Right. It means focusing on your strengths and really managing their strengths and allowing them to excel, because that's important to everyone. They want to know that their skills are being appreciated and they can be utilized well.
So true.
You ready for the A?
Yeah.
All right. The A is for always give your conversations a call to action.
Ooh.
Mm. Always. So when you finish a team meeting, what's the next steps? You know, who's going to be in charge? What's going to happen? And when are we going to have it done by?
Due date.
Yeah. So call to action, due date. Yep. And with your patients, treatment plans, you should also do the same thing. You know, you've delivered the treatment plan. Now you want to say, okay, here is the next steps. Carol is going to give you names of three patients that have had an implant procedure very, very similar to what we're looking at doing for you. And she's going to contact them first and make sure it's okay to give you their number or however they'd like to be communicated with. And then she'll reconnect with you. What I'd like you to do is in the next week, after you get those numbers, call those patients and ask them about the treatment from a patient perspective, because mm-hmm. I can't tell you from a dental perspective what you need to hear from a patient perspective. Mm-hmm. And a week after you get those numbers, Carol's going to call you back and she's going to schedule your next appointment. Does that sound like a good plan? And you're shaking your head yes, as the patient is shaking their head yes. And that's the sequence of events that's going to occur. Right. So give them a call to action so they know what's next, what's coming up, and what's, you know, in their future, their near future.
It's a handoff, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. how you hand off the patient so that they know
absolutely.
What's next. Yeah.
Yep. And that actually falls right into the N, which is the last part of Iron Man, is nurture. Nurture is all about follow-up. And having a plan and following through. And this is where I see dental offices fall short so often, is they forget about the follow-up, or they don't communicate with the office that they're referring to, or the handoff is just rocky.
Yeah.
You know, they go up front and then the administrative assistant has to go to the back and say, I'm not quite sure what I'm doing. You know, like you have to have processes and protocols in place for that seamless handoff and follow up, right? If you know, if you make the appointment for the patient that's going to the oral surgeon's office, you should follow up on that and make sure the patient went. And if they didn't, go back to the patient, right? And so everybody's got to be kind of cross-checking with each other. Mm-hmm. So none of the treatment or the opportunity of the treatment falling through the cracks.
Or use teledentistry for your referrals.
All right. Yeah, do you want to explain that a little bit?
So, which is my presentation today, earlier today, which is why, well, I mean, it's always top of mind. But so let's say like that referral, right? Like they need to go in to have that lesion that we're a little concerned about examined, but they don't, right? Like mm-hmm. you don't follow up with it. So with teledentistry, you can collect that data, send it via like a HIPAA secure platform.
Yes.
They can look at it, say, I think this is trauma related, or I'm a little nervous about this. Let's go ahead and schedule. And then that handoff then goes to the oral surgery office where mm-hmm. they call the patient and schedule that appointment.
Yep.
And like, I mean, it's just a much more fluid way to guide that patient so that they, I mean, can you remember the days of like us with a paper referral
in triplicate
and we were paper clipping the PA that we duplicated.
That was in a little coin.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm like,
yep.
Gen Z, don't judge me. Yep. I can relate to you, I promise. But also, I definitely duplicated images where I put them in a coin pouch.
Oh, yeah. We all did
like,
that.
Either paper clipped or stapled it to it. And then, like, it would go into the floorboard of their car, like, and get lost. And then you see them 6 months later, and like, did you get that extraction that we were so concerned about? Oh, you did talk about that. And like, it just makes a much more, I don't know, like fluid, nurturing. Yep. It's the follow-up. It's the actual like patient, getting patients the treatment that they need, mm-hmm. and helping them value, because life happens. It happens.
Oh, for sure. And now even more, yeah. right? But it's that dance, and teledentistry has really closed the gap, mm-hmm. in a lot of the communication gaps that have occurred.
Yeah.
And you can get the information directly to them instead of relying on the patient taking it. And, you know, the x-rays go through. It's much more fluid.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes us look darn good because all our ducks are in a row and we get all the information to where it needs to be. And the patient doesn't have to worry about it. They're not responsible for it. And then the flip side of that is you got to look at the legal side. You know, if that patient had a lesion that you referred them to an oral surgeon and they didn't go have it evaluated, they come back 6 months later, they still haven't done it, you send them again. If you haven't followed up on that and the patient has gone and seen, what's your responsibility and the liability of that case? Mm-hmm. Right? So a legal aspect comes into that follow-up as well.
Just the nourishing side of it, like our nurture side of it, I should say, not nourishing. Maybe you're nourishing, but the nurture side of it.
That.
It's, you know, it's really getting after the preventive side of dentistry that we talk about so much. That's key. It's the consistency and the continuity of the conversation, like having it over and over and over again, the same conversation, not same, but like bringing up the same issue so that we can actually move their needle forward into health.
Right.
And I think it's really hard without teledentistry, but it's so far important.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, and I think COVID has accelerated using teledentistry. Like dentistry, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but it's a little slow moving.
Stop it.
Tell us again. What? I don't think that's the first time we've heard that.
What?
We did notice it.
Are you telling me that we don't adopt research and evidence-based practices in a timely manner? I cannot believe it.
So that's the silver lining of COVID, right? It's made us adopt technology that we were kicking and screaming and fighting. You know, that's human nature. We don't like change.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, some of us do, but only if it makes sense, right?
I know. I love change. I'm the kid in high school that sat in a different seat every day and drove the person who wanted that seat nuts.
That actually would have been me. I'm like, I'm sorry. I picked the seat
in the beginning of the year
so that I could see the board and write the notes and hear the message. And you're sitting
220,
there?
The glare's not going to hit.
Exactly.
The
I'm strategically picking the seat out.
Oh, I'd move one seat over, but
I appreciate you for that.
I knew who not to do it to.
You can get the vibe coming off of that girl might be a little crazy.
So when you're given this presentation, this thing to teams, and I feel like, you know, one glaring thing hasn't happened, I feel like doctors are going to need to understand. You haven't talked about money yet. Communication and money.
It's a hard one for them to connect, right? It's the foundation of their business, but dentistry always looks for a quick fix, right? They're looking for the latest project or product. Mm-hmm. They're looking for that silver bullet that is going to increase their production next month. Mm-hmm. And it's an investment. It's an investment, and it's something that they have to understand is not going to happen overnight. It takes a little time. But once you get that team firing on all cylinders, it is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Because you're getting better treatment case acceptance. Your office is more productive. It's more efficient. It's more effective. Plus, your patients are going to notice that you're communicating with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, rather than just going through the process of the day, doing your job in your silo, you know, once they're communicating and understand each other better, they have a better working relationship and the patients notice it.
How many Yelp reviews have we seen where they're like, oh, the doctor was really kind to their assistant that was helping them that
day.
Mm. Like they mention that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super important.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, both of you have been career long enough that you've been on both sides of that coin. And it's a very stressful job if you're working in silos and not helping each other. Mm. And you get that dialed in, it's incredible.
Oh, it is. And it's fun to work.
It is. You love going to work.
Yeah. It's nice.
How do you get a team member though to participate if they're not really about the communication?
It depends. Again, I look at it from a generational perspective, but it's a rewards and recognition situation. And so what is going to appeal to that employee to participate? One of the things I suggest in one of my presentations is create a traveling trophy.
Oh, fun.
And each week, and it can be anything. It doesn't have to be a physical trophy. It can be a certificate. It can be, you know, come up with something creative that your office, everybody would kind of think it's, oh, that's so perfect for this office. And on Monday, somebody has the traveling trophy and they keep it for the whole week. So they can display it in their operatory. Patients see it. They go through the whole week and they observe the rest of the team throughout the week, because the person with the trophy is going to pass it on to somebody that went above and beyond work environment in that week.
Nice.
And so they pass it on to them. The person can leave it in their operatory and come back to it on Monday. They can take it home with them. But the idea behind it is, not only does it make you do things maybe that you wouldn't, because, you know, Tracy has the trophy this week, I'm going to win it. This, you know, I'm going to be the winner this week. It kind of levels up the communication, but it also heads you into the weekend, right? I've given it to somebody. It heads that person into the weekend with a positive mindset about their work environment. And they come back in Monday and they're the trophy person of the week.
Yeah.
Right. So you could have like a picture, you know, the pictures that change on photo albums. You could have that person's picture with all different types of, you know, personal life, family life, whatever it is that would work for that person, because everybody's different with that too. Have it at the front desk. Here's our employee of the week.
Oh,
right.
Nice.
They won the traveling trophy. So things like that get people involved, because it's a team effort. Everybody's involved. Everybody's going to win that award at some point. And I get to choose who gets it, not just one person giving it out every single week.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So it's a nice, it's a really nice team builder.
We had a Bunko trophy.
Well,
totally different than what you're talking about, but it was hideous and I loved it.
We had, on our mission trips, shout outs. At the end of the day, you would give a shout out to somebody you saw, like, really, like, interact with the patient in a kind way, or, like, go above and beyond and serve their other team members, which is really, it was fun to hear your name. You're like, oh, you saw that? Thank you.
Yeah, and see?
Yeah.
People love being recognized for their contributions, and especially if it's not part of their job.
Yeah,
right.
It's so true. It's true.
It's like, it's all part of your job, but okay. It's not in the job description.
Exactly.
But yeah.
And also, I don't think we use the reception area, the waiting area, enough for acknowledgement and patient education.
Oh, for sure. I totally agree.
There's
100%.
Such a captive audience just chilling out there. Granted, they might be on their phones or whatever, but like, to have somebody like, here's our infection control coordinator. Here's our like patient coordinator. These are the people that you're about to interact with. And here's the roles that they have in their practice. And also here are the services that we have. And here are like the things that we do and what we teach and our philosophy and our mission. And like, you're going to hear us talk about motivational interviewing and disclosing, like all the things. Like,
I couldn't agree more.
Let them know.
Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, having maybe a TV that scrolls through the services that you offer, you know, people hear that in the background or on your answering machine, meaning, you know, if they get put on hold, what is the message they're hearing?
Yeah.
Like, are they just sitting and listening to music? Why? Take advantage of your marketing.
Right.
You know, put it on there. The other thing is, if you're involved in community services or if you're involved in global
philanthropic stuff,
yes,
highlight that.
Put it on your website. Put it on your social media. Have plaques in your office with the team members getting the certification. That is huge, because people notice that stuff.
Yeah.
And they think, oh, this office, this practice really cares about the community.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make it a better place.
I might have wrote an article about that in Dental Economics last year.
Look at you.
Go check it out.
Look at you.
Link in the show notes. You know what? Well, to fix the phone issue, though, you know, to access the free Wi-Fi at the practice, you can always put a video or something in there ahead of time.
I like that idea. Oh, that's great.
I don't know anyone that does it, but I do that when I'm at the airport. Sometimes I have to watch that little video or whatever else, right?
Yeah, because you can't skip it for 3 seconds.
Right. It's so annoying.
Oh my God. That's a great idea.
That's what you should spread across the world as you do your little traveling around doing stuff.
Just that one piece?
Just all that's the only that's thing.
Just work it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that one thing. That's it. That's my only message as I travel. How are we doing?
We're there at the time.
All right.
I went too fast.
You went too fast?
No, this went too fast.
It did. Always definitely went too fast.
They're fun.
All of
They're
our always fun. Went too fast. I'm curious if you have any like last words, messages, like a call to action, if
no,
we will.
So we can be nurtured.
Yeah. So exactly. A call to action for any of our listeners. If they just heard this, how do they get Iron Man started in their practice?
So first contact me, right?
Yes.
You want to work with a coach who can help you with your communication. You know, what your pain points are. And you can go to my website, communicatewithinfluence.org. Connect with me on social media. I am a Gen Xer, so texting works fabulous for me as well. That's my main mode of communication. I saw this throughout COVID. I saw this huge communication gap get even bigger mm-hmm. with dental teams. You know, I had people calling me every day saying our doctor closed the office and I haven't heard from him or her since.
So many people said that.
Did you hear that? Right.
Yes.
And now we're supposed to open in 2 weeks and we don't have any guidance. We don't know if we have the PPE, right? So
many times did we hear that? Like all of the
amazing people. Communication gap. And I thought, well, how can I take my expertise and help teams come back together? And so I developed a membership. I'm going to be launching it in September called Dental Teams Unite.
Oh,
Power Talk for Us.
I like it.
And it's for everyone. It's for all aspects of dentistry. So the doctor, the assistant, the hygienist, the administrative assistant, lab techs, right? What I'm trying to do is bring our community back together mm-hmm. and talk about the communication issues. Wow. And so it'll be a 9-month annual program. I'm doing a flash sale in July, 27, 28, 29. The flash sale will be for 3 days and you can join lifetime membership for $297.
Nice.
And then after that, it'll be an annual membership for everyone else. And it'll be 9 months. The first week of the month will be a CEU presentation. I'm AGD certified, so I'll be able to provide them CEU credits. Nice. The second week will be open discussion about that topic. And the third week will be a guest speaker or it's going to kind of evolve,
yeah,
you know, as
for sure.
the membership grows. Mm. And the people that join in the initial subscription for that mm-hmm. flash sale will actually be my key opinion leaders. And my advisors, nice. If they want to be.
Nice.
I like
so they'll
it.
Help
like
grow.
A little founding members.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing really like that in dentistry, and especially now with communication. And I thought this is the best way to put my expertise to use and to help fill that gap in a little bit.
Oh, wow. So how do people find this?
So they can subscribe to my newsletter. And that will put them on my list so that when I send out that information on the flash sale and the membership, it'll be on that. They can also send me an email, right? Go onto my website and just, if there's a contact form, if they want to connect with me that way. Like I said, text is probably the best way to get to me fast. Mm-hmm. So my phone number, should I put my phone number on here?
You can. Other people have. That,
okay. Yeah, plenty of people
so
do.
So we'll just get rid of that part. So my phone number is 206-465-1637. And they can connect with me anyway. Whatever their preference is, whatever their generational preference is.
Oh, yeah.
Say that again.
So you kept your Washington number, I see.
Yeah, I've had it for 30 years. Everybody knows that number. So,
yeah.
I did keep it.
That's great. Well, thank you for your time and all of this information. This was a fabulous conversation.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for inviting me. It's been such a nice conversation. And you guys are very, very easy to have conversations with. You make
Thanks.
It easy to interview, and it's been a pleasure.
Oh,
thanks for the invitation.
Well, another great week, another great episode. We thank you all so much for listening each week. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, whatever podcasting app you're using. Also, just a reminder, our guests are so fantastic that they love when you reach out. They love when you interact with them on social media. And you can interact with us on social media as well at Instagram or Facebook. We're also on LinkedIn. You can find us at A Tale of Two Hygienists.
You can also go to our website, atale2hygienist.com. And we would love for you to go there and subscribe for our newsletter. We have lots of stuff on our website. We have a learning center. You can search for any episode. This is an easy place for you to find the links for our CE courses and take the test. There's just so much more there. So head over to atale2hygienist.com. And if you want, you can also send us an email. I'm Michelle at atale2hygienist.com. And then there's Andrew. Who is Andrew at atale2hygienist.com. And we just want to say thank you so much. If you love this episode and you're loving the podcast, we would love for you to subscribe and leave us a review. And, you know, 5-star, go ahead and do it. 5-star, just hit that 5-star and then leave us a review. We really appreciate it. We love reading them. It fuels our fire and we just appreciate you guys so much. I think that's it, Andrew. Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Have a good week, everybody.
Bye, y'all.